Good day to you. Good day. Good day. Good wishes.
Good day to you, Squire Gresham.
Thank you. So lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. Good day. Good day, dear friend.
Likewise, Squire. Your health.
And health the young Mr. Frank, too, of course.
Oh, yes.
May he live 1,000 years and then never die.
Thank you. Thank you, Farmer Ockle. That's very kind. You're very kind.
Oh, how lovely to see you.
Today, Frank Gresham of Greshamsbury is 21 years old. And because he is Frank Gresham, son of Squire Gresham, and because in due course he will inherit the Greshamsbury estate, his coming of age must be celebrated in fit fashion, gala, doings, and so on. In the park, there are tables placed under the oak trees, and Squire Gresham's tenants are sat there to eat and drink. Later, for guests of the gentler sort, there'll be a dinner and speeches. But those who do honour to Frank Gresham and who drink his health are not as joyous as perhaps they should be. For they know that things were very much better at Greshamsbury in former times. Frank Gresham comes of age today, but all that he'll be heir to, I fear, is financial ruin.
Dr. Thorne by Anthony Trollope. Dramatised for radio in 3 episodes by Martin Wade. Starring John Wood as Dr. Thorne, Leo McKern as Sir Roger Scatcherd, Amanda Root as Mary Thorne, Eleanor Bron as Lady Arabella Gresham, Christopher Benjamin as Squire Gresham, and Michael Higgs as Frank Gresham. Episode 1.
I've no objection to talking, Mr. Gresham, only I'd have thought you'd prefer to stay among your guests.
Well, Doctor, if there's any merriment to be found, they'll find it as easily without me. I've lost much mirth over the years, as well as much else. You were not at Greshamsbury when I came of age.
No.
Oh, I tell you, today's festivities are a very tame affair by comparison. Anyway, to business. Yes, I need £10,000, Thorne, at the least. 12, preferably.
That's a very large sum of money.
10,000, then.
10,000's a very large sum.
Now, do you think Scatcherd will let me have it?
Oh, yes, Scatcherd will probably oblige. But I rather fear, indeed I know, that he'll expect to have the title deeds of Greshamsbury in return.
What, for £10,000?
When the last loan was made, he warned that it would indeed be the last unless he had ample security to cover what he'd already advanced. Oh, Mr. Gresham, I wish to goodness you had no more need to borrow.
Well, Doctor, so do I. Look, if I don't get the money from Scatcherd, I'll get it elsewhere.
Yes, and what will you be required to pay for it?
I'd sooner pay double, thank you, than listen to you moralising. Oh, forgive me, Thorn. There are some things which are very hard to bear, I find. Though God knows I should be growing more used to them by now.
Well, indeed he should, for it is many years now since the Greshamsbury estate was prosperous. Squire Gresham spent much money on standing at parliamentary elections, also on keeping the East Barsetshire hounds, though he has given up both those expensive habits now. But he has not given up the Lady Arabella, his wife. And Lady Arabella is a De Courcy by birth. And by birth, therefore, accustomed to a certain mode of living which she is determined to maintain, even when it cannot properly be afforded. By the way, Lady Rosina De Courcy is here at Greshamsbury for Frank's coming of age. She is Lady Arabella's sister-in-law, you know. I think it must be very pleasant for the one lady to have the other staying with her. For Lady Rosina is able, as very few of us are, to give Lady Arabella the sympathy and understanding she so much requires.
A mere 10 weeks we were in town, that's all.
Barely time, I would have thought, for the girls to get their teeth looked at properly.
I told Mr. Gresham as much, but of course he'd rather we weren't in town at all.
That's absurd. You have a house there.
At present, Rosina, yes.
He wants to sell it? Sell the house in Portman Square?
Yes. And shut us away in the country for all time.
But Arabella, Arabella, surely your husband isn't... He surely isn't in such straits as he claims to be.
I think he is, Rosina.
How come? My dear, he doesn't gamble, does he?
Gamble? No, I don't think so.
Well, the money must be going somewhere. What does he tell you, Arabella, when you request from him the common necessaries of life? What excuse does your husband give for being so hard pushed?
He gives no excuse. He makes protests instead. You should have heard how he groaned the other day when I asked for a few £100s. Well, I must have a few £100s to spend now that Augusta is to be married.
Of course you must.
Oh, Rosina, I have all the sufferings and privations of a poor man's wife, but none of the consolations. He tells me nothing except there's no money to be had.
Shameful, not to be endured.
If he talks to anyone, it's that horrid doctor.
What? Dr. Thorne? Oh, heavens. How a country gentleman, for that's what your husband is with all his faults, how he can discuss his affairs with a low apothecary, I can't imagine.
Oh, he's knowledgeable about everything, is the doctor. Advises on everything, too, it seems. I think Dr. Thorne is the cause of many of my husband's difficulties. I really do.
Arabella, I think you may be right.
It's Frank that I'm sorry for. I could be easy about everything if he weren't to suffer.
Mr. Gresham, your son will do very well yet. One doesn't need £14,000 a year to be happy.
My father gave me the property entire.
Yes.
And now, some of the money, you see, I need for Augusta.
Oh, yes. When's she getting married?
September. I've agreed to give her fellow £6,000. He wants it in cash.
Does he?
Hmm. Yes. Do you know Moffat at all?
I know of him, of course. Barchester MP and so forth. Never met him, though.
Nor have the people of Barchester, I gather. I have to say, I'm not much in love with Mr. Moffat. But if my daughter is, that's everything, I suppose. So, you'll see scattered, will you? About the loan.
If that's what you want.
£10,000 will do, I think. And now, Thorne, I must dress for dinner.
It is our turn now, Aunt De Courcy. Will you take my arm?
Thank you.
This way, Frank, this way. Head of the table,
Father.
No, this is your rightful place today.
As you wish, Father.
Oh, Brother.
Congratulations, Frank.
Thank you, Mother. Well, with you on one side and Aunt on the other, I shall be kept in perfect order.
We expect a great deal of you now, dear boy.
Do you, Aunt De Courcy?
It will now depend altogether upon yourself, you know, whether you maintain that position which the Greshams have held for so long in Barsetshire, or whether you will fail.
Oh, I mean to go along all square and no mistake. When I get back to Cambridge, I shall read like Billio.
You're going back to Cambridge? Why?
Well, I've only had a year there, Aunt. I intend to work hard and take my degree.
Arabella, is Frank to go back to Cambridge?
So his father seems to say.
But is it not a thorough waste of time?
In my opinion, Rosina, it is. But I never interfere.
I have been sat next to Miss Beatrice Gresham at dinner. Beatrice is one of Frank's sisters. The other sister, Augusta, is the one who is shortly to be married. There's a great deal of her mother in Augusta Gresham, but rather less, I'm glad to say, in Beatrice. So I've conversed very happily with her.
Oh, dear. Do you never succumb to sickness yourself, Doctor?
I try very hard not to.
I suppose the thought of having Dr. Philgrave visit you is a fine deterrent against most of you.
Oh, indeed it is, Beatrice. I'd even taste my own medicine before Philgrave. Seated on the other side of me is one of Lady De Courcy's daughters, Lady Emily. She, naturally enough, is a De Courcy through and through, so she and I have had rather less to say to each other. Pleasant weather today, Lady Emily.
Pleasant? No, I don't think so.
No?
Too windy.
Ah. And now...
Ladies and gentlemen...
We are to drink a toast.
I give you my dear son... Frank Gresham.
Frank.
Thank you.
God bless you, Frank.
Your good health, Frank.
And a good wife, especially.
Yes, two or three. Well, Frank, that is Mr. Gresham. Time for a speech, Mr. Gresham.
Thank you, everyone. and I thank you in particular, sir. But I'm not yet Mr. Gresham, you know, even though I am come of age. That title is yours, Father, and will remain so for many years to come. I am not Mr. Gresham, but a Gresham I am. Every inch of Gresham, I hope, and exceedingly proud to be so.
Well, I suppose the next time we are all together will be at your wedding, Augusta.
Yes.
Are all the bridesmaids decided upon?
Well, apart from yourself and Alexandrina, not quite. Patience Oriel is to be one.
She is a parson's sister and she has a lot of money. And I was rather hoping, though Augusta has not yet agreed it, have you, Gussie, that Mary Thorne might also be asked.
Miss Thorne? Yes. Oh, Beatrice, dear, that wouldn't do at all.
Well, I didn't think it would either. But Mary would so very much like
it. I'm certain she would.
We've known her much longer than we've known Patience. She's my best friend.
Dearest cousin, Mary Thorne is a perfectly nice girl, I'm sure. Though rather too often inclined to be familiar, I think. As if she lived here and were on a par with you and Augusta.
Well, in a way, she is. She has grown up with us here, was given her lessons with us.
Yes, which perhaps was not a proper or sensible arrangement. But the point is, Beatrice, your sister is peculiarly situated. The man she is marrying is not of the highest birth, and therefore she must take care that everyone about her most certainly is. Must you not, Augusta?
Yes, yes, of course. But Emily, the Thornes are as good a family as the Greshams or the de Court. They're as good as the Greshams, at least.
I dare say they are. And if Mary Thorne were a true Thorne, there would be no objection to her. But who precisely is Miss Mary Thorne?
Why, she is Dr. Thorne's niece, of course.
You mean that she is called as much? But do you know who her father was, or her mother?
Well, I don't, that's true.
We none of us do, Beatrice. Nor, I fear, does she.
You've been avoiding me, Mary?
No, Mr. Gresham.
Oh, Mary. Mr. Gresham, indeed.
Yes, Mr. Gresham. It must be Mr. Gresham.
Today, you mean, on account of my coming of age.
No, I mean after what happened when we last met.
Nothing happened. I told you of the love that I have for you.
Yes, Mr. Gresham.
I told you that it is a love that will never die.
Mr. Gresham.
No matter if it's opposed by others, no matter even if it's opposed by you. Why you should oppose it, Mary, I can't think. Because you love me, don't you?
Mr. Gresham.
Or if you don't, you will, won't you? Please, Mary, say you will. Say you'll love me. Say you'll marry me.
Mr. Gresham.
Mary, dearest Mary.
No, you will call me Miss Thorne, please. Not Mary.
No, Mary, I won't. I'll be shot if I do.
Well, I can't say I'll be shot if you don't. But I shan't be able to come to Greshamsbury House.
Why? Because of my mother?
No, Mr. Gresham, not because of her. I'm not in the least afraid of Lady Arabella, but I am afraid of you.
Afraid of me?
It is you that will drive me away, no one else. Please, don't do it. I'm so fond of the house, and Beatrice is such a dear, dear friend. And so are you, or were.
Oh, Mary, I still am, believe me. But I hope to be your husband, too.
Mr. Gresham, I am sure you do not wish to do me harm.
I'm sure I don't.
Please, therefore, please, don't speak again to me in that way. For if you do, you will cause me much grief and distress. You will inflict such injury on me that I shall stay away from Greshamsbury House. I shall be forced to, in my own defense. He is a good man, Frank Gresham. And that I love him, I'm certain. But I have never told him so. And he should not have said that he loves me. I do love him, though. And we would be so well fitted for each other, would we not? And it would be so sweet to become the sister of my dear Beatrice. And to belong to Greshamsbury House, to really belong there. It will never happen. And if it did, I would know it was wrong. Uncle would know it too. It would be wrong, just as it is wrong, surely, for Augusta to be marrying this Mr. Moffat.
Is the tea ready, my dear?
Yes, Uncle. Come and sit down.
You've got your worrying look on.
Yes, Uncle. Well, I'm thinking, at least, about Augusta's marriage, among other things.
Augusta's marriage?
What do you think about it?
Well, Mary, I can't say I've thought much about it at all. I don't suppose many people have.
Augusta must think about it, of course. And Mr. Moffat, too. Oh,
not so sure about that. Some folk would never get married if they had to trouble themselves with thinking about it.
Is that why you've never married, Uncle?
Perhaps. Or else because I've thought about it too much. Did you say the tea was ready, my dear?
Yes, Uncle. I believe Mr. Moffat is a man of no real family.
Oh, he'll have a family, I'm sure, when he gets a wife.
Oh, Uncle, you're a goose. And a very provoking goose at that.
Mr. Moffat's family is of no significance, dearest Mary, one way or the other. Thank you. He's rich, and a rich fella can buy anything.
Except a happy marriage. I want your true opinion, Uncle. If you were Augusta Gresham...
Oh, come now, Mary. I can't offer an opinion founded on such an absurd hypothesis.
Well, then, if I were Augusta...
But you are not.
No, no. I am Mary Thorne, which is a very different thing altogether. Mary Thorne, I imagine, could marry anyone without degrading herself.
Mary...
In my opinion, Augusta should not marry Mr. Moffat. Her family is high and noble, but his is not. If I were Augusta Gresham, I wouldn't marry him, not if he were made of gold. And likewise, it would be wrong, I think, for a woman to marry a man of higher rank than she is, because by doing so, she would cause his rank to fall. I suppose, Uncle, I ought to know what my own rank is, so that if the need should arise, I can apply my rules to myself. Uncle? The Thornes of Bartonshire are as good a family as the Greshams, aren't they, Uncle?
Oh, yes, my dear, they are. In absolute genealogy, that is. In reality, though, their standing in the county is not nearly as high.
But they are of the same class.
Well...
Would you say, for instance, that I am of the same class as Augusta Gresham? Would you, Uncle?
Perhaps not. Unless you allow me a poor country doctor to be of the same class as the squire.
Uncle, dearest uncle, you are not answering me fairly, you know. I am the daughter of your brother, who is dead. That much I have learned, for you have talked of him sometimes. But not a word has been spoken to me by you or by anyone concerning my mother.
Dearest child...
Let me ask you, therefore, am I properly your niece? Can I, in truth, be called your niece except by your permission?
Oh, I wish that you had spared me this.
I could not do so for all time. But you have said enough to give me an answer, and I promise that I will grieve you no more.
Oh, Mary.
Dearest uncle, if it were possible, I ought to love you more than ever now. For I now know that I would be nothing if it were not for you.
Oh, well, Mary, you must know one more thing. For after what has passed, it would be very unjust and very cruel not to tell you it. Your mother was unfortunate in much, dearest Mary. But the world, which is often very stern in such matters, never judged her to have disgraced herself. You must know that, my child, so that you may know how to respect her memory.
Oh, wonderful.
Help but wonder if I have done great wrong to my dear Mary Thorne. Perhaps by trying to bring her up as a lady, I have denied her a rank, a position to which she can really belong. Perhaps indeed I should never have decided to bring her up on my own, not on an income as modest as mine. And yet it was I, after all, who rescued her from the workhouse. It was I who saved her from degradation. And now she is my pride, my comfort, my happiness, my glory. Well, the lack of wealth sits easily enough with me, but I'm not at all certain I should impose it upon Mary. What man would marry her? What man would bring both ill blood and poverty upon his children? Over there, look, Boxall Hill, where I'm headed. Sir Roger Scatcherd and his wife live there. Now, money for the Scatcherds is not in short supply. But whether it's made them happy, I can't be sure.
Oh, Dr. Thorne, bless you, bless you. I never expected you so soon.
Well, why should you have expected me at all?
I sent a messenger.
Oh, I see.
Sir Roger has been taken poorly and is in his bed.
Oh, forgive me, Lady Scatcherd. I had no idea.
We put him to bed when he was first took. But he's not right yet about the legs, so there he stays.
Is he bad?
Oh, bad enough. There's been something at the back of his head. Rapping and rapping, he says. And if you can't do aught for him, Doctor, I think it'll rap him too hard yet.
So, Doctor, you've smelt me out, have you? And you've come to try and get your fee. Well, you're too late, man. I've cheated you, Reaper, without troubling you.
Well, in truth, I came on other business for Squire Gresham, but that can wait. I'm very glad you're a little better.
A little? I was never better in my life.
Well, Lady Scatcherd said...
Oh, yes, let her alone to make the worst of it. She'll always oblige.
Let me listen to your chest.
Oh. I'll tell you, Thorne.
Sir Roger. You've been as near your God, I think, as a man still living could be.
Hey? Oh, have I now?
Indeed you have.
But now I'm all right again.
All right? When your legs refuse to carry you, when the blood's beating like a torrent round your brain, most other men would be dead by now.
So, Doctor, what am I to do then?
Well, first, these ledgers and papers must be put aside.
No.
For 2 weeks at least.
No, not even for 2 hours.
Captured, you must. If you try to work, you will have recourse to the stimulus of drink.
Stimulus?
And if you drink, most assuredly, you will die. There's a brandy bottle I noticed on the table.
There is, that's true. Don't you suppose I can have a bottle in my room without taking a swig?
You'll be less likely to take a swig if you can't get at it. Scatcherd, your breath smells of alcohol. I can feel the stuff in your veins.
I'll tell you what. I'll get someone else to have a look at me. I'll send for Dr. Philgrave.
Very well, send for him. I don't imagine even Philgrave can go too wrong with a case like yours.
Oh, you're a good fellow, Thorne, and I like you, but I'm not sure you're the best doctor in England.
Well, I'm quite certain I'm not.
I'll send for Philgrave.
By all means.
Well, I'm at it. I'll send for Dr. Rearchild, too. Hang the expense, eh?
Send for Dr. Rearchild, send for every doctor in Barsetshire. But whoever you send for, please, Scatcherd, do it at once.
Well, I know now what I suppose I suspected for some time. My mother and my father were not married. Never married. I am not uncle's niece. Not legitimately so, that is. But am I not nonetheless the same person as I was? Do I not have the same capacity as before to do things nobly? Is my inner worth not of greater account than my birth and family? Proud talk, Mary Thorne. What fine democratic principles. A pity you cannot in your heart believe them. The very evening that you learned the truth about yourself, or something of it, had you not been arguing the intrinsic worth of good blood? Did you not say that were you, Augusta Gresham, you would not marry Mr. Moffat, because his family is not high and noble? I am not Augusta Gresham. I am not as she or Beatrice is. Their world, their brother's world, is not mine. Nor, I think, would it ever truly be mine. Not even if I married into it.
Thank you for the lunch, Lady Scatcherd.
I wish you wouldn't go. I wish you wouldn't leave him.
I'm afraid I must. Your husband dismissed me and sent for at least one other doctor in my place. Etiquette prevents me from staying.
Etiquette?
What's etiquette to do with it when a man's killing himself with brandy?
Oh, I'm sure Dr. Philgrave will urge a ban on alcohol as forcefully as I am, it could.
Oh, Philgrave, indeed. Fiddlesticks. Don't want any Philgraves here.
Goodbye, Lady Scatcherd.
You can visit him as a friend, though, can't you? And then by degrees...
I will certainly return soon, my lady. I promise.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Dawn! Dawn!
Oh, heavens!
Dawn! Come up here, will you?
I'd not thought, though, to return quite as soon as this.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Frank, oh, Mr. Gresham.
Yes, yes, and you are Miss Thorne. What are you doing here?
Oh, sitting, thinking. I think I have thought enough. I shall go home.
Then I shall walk with you.
Oh, no, Mr. Gresham, indeed, you'll not do that.
Indeed, I shall.
No, Mr. Gresham, walking in the mud with village girls is a dreadful bore. All gentlemen find it so.
There's no mud. But if there were, I'd ensure you didn't walk in it. Should it do you a service, I'd carry you home in my arms.
No, no, dear me. A wheelbarrow ride would be preferable to that.
Mary, you are unkind to me, you know.
Am I? I'm not aware of it. But if I am unkind, please don't you retaliate, for I am weaker than you.
Yesterday, at my coming of age, you refused to take my hand. You did not wish me joy.
Well, believe me, I do wish you joy. I do. And here is my hand.
Thank you. Thank you, oh, Mary, dearest Mary.
No, Frank.
If you only knew how much I love you.
Please, let's go.
Sweetest Mary.
Your sister is coming.
What?
I'm sorry to have disturbed you.
Augusta, what do you want?
I was asked to find you. Aunt de Course is in the drawing room and would like to speak to you straight away.
Oh, yes? Well, I was about to walk to Mary's house with her.
You'd better see Aunt at once, Frank. She'll be angry if you keep her waiting. Mary Thorne and I shall walk together.
Oh, as for Mary Thorne, I hope she won't be an inconvenience to either of you.
Well, then I'll go. But listen, Gussie, if you say one word to anyone about Mary...
Say one word about Mary? Why does she not say as many words about Mary as she pleases? Let me tell you the truth, Augusta, and then you can tell it to whomsoever you wish. This is not the first time...
Mary!
It is not the first time that your brother has amused himself at my expense, addressing me with words which it was ill-natured of him to use.
Ill-natured?
No doubt he talked in similar vein to other girls, but it is almost cruel to talk like that to me. For though another girl might laugh at him or listen to him as she chooses, I can do neither. Not if I wish to continue my visits to your house and to find happiness and harmony there. Augusta, you will please bear me witness. I was not a willing audience to your brother.
And is that why you called me back to tell me you've already sent for Philgrave?
No, no, dear fellow.
My time may be of value to others, you know, even though it's not to you.
Oh, come now, you mustn't be testing with a man when he's ill. Especially not an old friend. Now, look, I need half an hour from you. And I'll have it now, if I may, since I can be dead before you're free to give me another.
Gatcher, you and I will have many half hours together, I trust, for many years to come.
Well, that's it, maybe. Thorne, I didn't send for you to make me better. Heavens, I know what's wrong with me. I know I'm drinking myself to death. Don't need you to tell me that.
Then why do you do it?
Well, why shouldn't I? Drink's my one gratification.
Oh, now that's absurd. Have you not limitless wealth? Can you not do anything you choose?
No, Thorne, no, I cannot. What can I do? Have no real friends, no company. If I'm among gentlemen, they might ask me about railways, should they happen to know who I am and how I made me money. But after I've said what's to be said on the topic, I've nothing left to tell them. Likewise, there can be precious little conversation when I go among my labourers, for I'm their master and a stern master, too. So, where are my friends? They're here, Thorne, in this room. There's one on the table. Oh, I met him before. And another two under my pillow. Oh. These are my friends. These give me my gratification.
Scatcherd, you wouldn't die for friends like these.
Why shouldn't I? I'm not afraid to die. When a man's made £300,000, dying's the only thing that's left for him. I'd give it all away, you know. I'd give up this grand house, hand back this baronetcy they gave me. If, in return, I could take up my stonemason's hammer of a morning and and do a proper day's work and sit in the alehouse in the evening and talk to folk and laugh. Well, anyhow, to business. On the assumption that I won't be giving it all away, I made a will. Made it just before I was laid low.
You had a will made long before that.
I did, Thorn, but I destroyed it. Now, in that first will, there were two executors who were named, you and the partner I had in the York and Yeovil Grand Central. Oh, but he's not worth a shilling now.
Well, nor am I.
No, you're not, that's true. But he's nothing, you see, without money. It's not money that makes you, Thorn.
It's not me that makes money.
That's true enough, too. The new will's on the table there. Next to that friend of mine.
Well, Frank, you have come of age.
Yes, that was the reason for all the recent fuss, I believe.
I am very pleased for you. Though I would have taken greater pleasure still if more effort had been expended upon the occasion. But Greshamsbury, I fear, is not what it used to be.
Is it not?
Not at all. And it is for that reason, Frank, that I am anxious about you.
Oh, I'll be all right, Aunt Courcy. You'll see.
What has happened may have been your father's misfortune rather than his fault. But we cannot look to him to restore Greshamsbury's fortunes. That is your task, Frank. It all depends on you now.
I see.
Your father owes a great deal of money.
Yes, I believe he does.
Also, he has sold Boxall Hill to some horrid railway contractor.
Yes.
And the railway contractor has built a large house there. So I assume that the property will be hard to buy back. But it will be your duty, Frank, to repay all your father's debts.
Aunt Courcy.
And to make a purchase of new land, which will be at least equal in size to Boxall Hill.
Forgive me, Aunt. But if that is my duty, then I know already that I will fail in it. I couldn't possibly pay off the family debts, nor could I...
My dear Frank, the solution is simple. Very simple. You must marry money, Frank. That is what you must do.
You will have to find a second executor, Scatcherd. With 300,000 to be disposed of, the trust is far too much for one man. And I'm too old as well. I may die before you.
What? That's humbug, humbug. If you don't want to be executor, Thorne, you can refuse the job. But the will must be carried out by someone. Now, I'm leaving 100,000.
No, I don't need to know the will's contents, surely.
Well, not the whole thing. 100,000, as I say, I'm leaving in legacies, including what Lady Scatcherd will have. She won't get the house.
She won't?
No. Oh, she'll not miss it. She's not felt right in it from the start. No. I'm leaving the house and the estate and the rest of the money to Louis Philippe.
You're leaving him £200,000?
Well, why not? I've toiled for my money, Thorne, and I have a right to do what I like with it.
Of course you do. I didn't mean to dispute that.
Yeah, Louis Philippe will do well enough. Let a young fellow sow his wild oats, I say. He'll be nice and steady when he gets older.
I hope so.
Now don't fret, Thorne. I've put a check on his expenditure. He'll have 500 a year at his own disposal, and it'll be in your power, Thorne, assuming you're executor, to give the boy what he might ask for on top of that. The rest of the 200,000 will only come to him when he's 25.
I see. He's 21 now.
Yes. If he dies before he's 25 and has no children, then what would have been is, she'll go to my sister's eldest.
Your sister's eldest?
Yes, sir.
Who is your sister's eldest?
Eh? Oh, Thorn, I don't know. Family's in America. Never seen them. But she does have a family. I'm aware of that much. And one of them, I suppose, must be the eldest.
But, Scatcherd, do you not think the will should be more specific? You wouldn't want to leave your best legacy to the lawyers.
I can't be more specific. I don't know the names of my sister's children. Don't know if the eldest is a boy or a girl, even. But eldest is eldest the whole world over. I don't see any room for confusion.
Well, I must think this over. I must indeed. I'll see you tomorrow, most likely.
Tomorrow? I'm not that sick. Surely if you come every day, you'll bankrupt me.
I don't mean simply about your health. Squire Gresham is seeking another loan from you.
Oh, is he now?
And also there's this will.
The will? You've no need to trouble yourself over that. Not till I'm gone. And as you said, Doctor, I might even outlive you. Find myself looking after that niece of yours and getting a husband for her. Oh, if you meet Dr. Philgrave on your way out, show him to the pump, will you?
Augusta tells me you have been interviewed by our dear aunt.
Yes, Beatrice, I fear I have. She's invited me, or is it instructed me, to go and spend some time at Courcy Castle.
Ah.
I've no wish to at all. Apart from anything else, I want to buckle down and read for my degree.
Did you tell Aunt so?
I did. But I was advised that as there are one or two books at Courcy Castle and any number of chairs, I could read just as well there as I could at Cambridge.
You will go, will you?
Yes, sister, I'll go. I have only just come of age, so I won't start a rebellion quite yet.
When do you leave?
Tomorrow morning. With dear aunt, of course, and with Augusta, too. She'll be seeing Mr. Moffat there.
Ah, yes.
And I must see a certain Miss Dunstable.
Miss Dunstable? Now, is she not the daughter of...
Of the ointment of Lebanon, ma'am. Yes, Beatrice, she is.
And is she not...
Exceedingly rich on account of her father having made a fortune from sales of the said ointment and then dying last year. Yes, Beatrice, she is. And because she is rich, I must get to know her well. Extremely well, in truth. And I must not be at all discouraged by the fact that she has no looks and is 30 years old. 30, Beatrice!
Well, dearest brother, if it is necessary that you make an alliance with money...
Others think it so.
Then I suppose you must take the money as it comes. Young or old, beautiful or plain.
Yes. You know, that's more or less what Aunt de Courcy said. I'm disappointed in you.
The chance is remote, is it not? Scatcherd, of course, might well pass on within a few years, or much sooner if he doesn't give himself fair play. But his son surely should be able to live till he's 25. And when he is, we shan't need to worry about this wretched clause in the will. The eldest child of Scatcherd's sister shall not need to come into the matter. Oh, but I'm not too certain about it. I rather fear in my heart of hearts that the odds are very much stacked up against young Louis Philippe. He shares his father's addiction to the bottle, but lacks Sir Roger's strength. What must I do, therefore? It is easy to be scornful of riches when one seems to have no prospect of acquiring them. But if there were indeed a chance that Mary might inherit Scatcherd's money, would it be right of me to fling that chance away? On the other hand, it would not be right, surely, to let Scatcherd leave his will as it is written. It would not be right, not right at all, if his property were to pass to someone he never intended to be his heir.
Uncle, you're back.
At last. I'm afraid I was with Scatcherd rather longer than I'd expected.
Uncle, you are always away longer than you expect, which bears out my argument.
What argument, Mary?
Well, having given up all hope for you, I went a walk with Patience Oriel, and she and I have been disputing over who is the greater man in the village, the doctor or the parson. I claim that you are, because you are much sought after and very actively engaged, whereas if Patience's brother were away for a month, no one would possibly miss him.
I don't know what Mr. Oriel would make of that.
Well, being a man of the cloth, and an honest one too, he might admit that it was the truth. Now, would you like some tea, Uncle?
I would, very much. No, later. Mary?
Yes, Uncle?
Mary, what would you do if you were suddenly to discover that, by some accident, you had won a large sum of money?
Ah, well, The first thing I would do would be to issue a command and tell you that as there was now no need to travel far and wide by way of your profession, you must stay at home and rest.
Thank you. Very kind. And what would you do next?
I'd buy a bonnet. Exactly like Patience Oriel's. A French bonnet, Uncle.
Oh, come. You don't care about French bonnets, Mary.
Don't I, though? I think I care very much about them. Especially after seeing Patience wearing one this afternoon. Guess how much it costs?
Oh, I don't know. A pound?
A pound, Uncle?
I told you, Mary, I've no idea.
100 francs.
Well, what's that?
£4.
Why don't I buy this bonnet for you anyway?
Uncle, no.
Well, why not, if you'd like it?
Uncle, it is very wrong of you to make such an offer.
Is it?
Well, if I had a large fortune, no doubt I would buy myself a French bonnet. But that doesn't mean that I want one now. If you spent £4 on a bonnet for me, it would scorch my head every time I wore it.
Well, I don't see why it should. £4 wouldn't ruin me. On the other hand, it's not worth the price of scorching your hair. But, Mary, all that aside, money is a fine thing. Do you not think so?
Yes, certainly it is. When it is well come by and does not harm the soul.
I'm feeling stronger, I'm certain.
Well, you're no worse at any rate.
No worse? Doctor, I mean to be on my feet within a day or two.
I should not advise that.
Well, I must be on my feet if I'm to stand.
What?
Oh, the election, Thorn, at Barchester. I'm intending to stand for Parliament.
Are you? Well, I should not advise that either.
Yeah, of course not. But I'll do it anyway. Now, Thorn, as to Squire Gresham?
Yes?
If he wants another loan, he'll have to part with the deeds of his estate.
Oh, you're a hard man, Scatcherd.
Well, Gresham may find me so. But why should he expect otherwise?
Well, I'd expect otherwise.
Oh, I'm to take bad security to oblige you, am I? I'll write a note for Gresham, then, explaining the terms.
Yes. Thank you, Scatcherd. But first, I've got something to say about that will of yours.
The will? I told you, that's all settled.
No, Scatcherd, it isn't. It must be a great deal more settled than this, I assure you.
Come in, my dear. What do you want to tell us?
It's regarding Frank, Mama.
Frank?
You know I worry very much about that boy. What is your news, Augusta?
Oh, it is not news as such, for I think it has been going on a considerable while.
Going on?
Yes, Aunt. Between Frank and Mary Thorne.
Mary Thorne? She is the girl they call the doctor's niece, is she not?
Yes, Rosina, she is.
She is the girl that nobody knows where she comes from.
Yes, Rosina, she spends much time here. Is here, indeed, as a matter of course.
Well, that, if I may say so, Arabella, is folly. Oh. Very great folly. Are you certain, Augusta, that something is going on?
If I was not, Aunt de Courcy, I am now. For I saw and heard the two of them this afternoon at the edge of the park. Frank was being very foolish.
Oh!
He was holding Miss Thorne's hand and speaking to her in a most unseemly way.
Oh!
I thought I should tell you of this, particularly as you are both so concerned about my brother's future.
We are, my dear, we are. You did very well.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Augusta. Mm-hmm.
Arabella, this evil must be stopped. For when young people of different ranks are allowed to associate together, there is no saying what danger might arise. The girl won't resist temptation. You can be sure of that. Not with such a prize held out for the taking. No girl in her position would.
To give Miss Thorne her due.
What?
She seemed to answer Frank very properly.
Oh, yes, of course she did. When she knew that you could hear her. Arabella.
Yes, Rosina.
The matter must not be left to Miss Thorne's propriety, for the propriety of a girl of her sort is never fit to be relied on. In the short term, we are safe, since Frank will be at Courcy Castle. But in the longer term, there is only one measure that will have any effect.
You see, Scatcherd, your will offers the possibility of the money going to your sister's eldest child.
Huh?
And therefore, I think, You should be told something of this child before it is too late for action to be taken.
Oh, you know something about my sister's eldest, do you?
Yes, yes, I do. Scatcherd, your sister's eldest child is not, as you think, living in America.
Is she not?
Your sister's eldest is not, as you think, the first child of your sister's marriage.
What are you saying, Thorn?
You remember my brother Henry, do you not?
Yes. Certainly I remember your brother. Remember him well. Remember how he met his death.
Yes, yes indeed. Scatcherd, this eldest child, Henry Thorne, was the child's father.
What? No, that's impossible. You told me yourself. All those years ago, you told me yourself, did you not? That the baby died.
Well, perhaps I did.
So you lied to me.
Well, if I told you that the baby died, that was indeed a lie.
I understand.
The baby lived. She is your sister's eldest child. And she is still living.
Oh, she is it.
And because she is still living, I decided that you must know the truth. For otherwise you might, unintentionally, have left her your money.
Why shouldn't she have a chance of getting my money? Why do you want to spite her, Thorne?
I have no wish to spite her.
Where is she? What's her name?
I'm not sure you need to know that.
I don't know why I shouldn't. She's my niece as much as yours. I have a right to be told. She shall come to Boxall Hill. Come and visit me. And perhaps I can be of some help to her. Is she a good one, Doctor?
Good? Oh, yes, I think so.
She must be grown up by now.
Yes.
Tell me her name.
Her name's Mary.
Well, that's good to call her after mother. Her other name's not Scatcherd, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, it wouldn't be Thorne. A man with your damn pride, Doctor, wouldn't let her take a family name, I'm certain. Now, come, what's her surname? I must know who she is, Doctor, if I'm to provide for her.
Who talked of you providing for her? So who said she was to belong to you? Scatcherd, the reason I've told you of her is so that you won't be in danger of leaving her your money without knowing a little about her. She's provided for. She'll do well enough. You don't need to trouble yourself about her.
Oh, but I will trouble myself if she's my sister's daughter and if she's a decent girl. Well, proper, you know. I shan't mind her being a bastard child, but I'd want to think she'd had some teaching and such like.
Oh, yes, she's had teaching and such like. She is a good girl, as I say.
Her name is Thorne, isn't it? She's Mary Thorne. She's the niece that lives with you and spends her time with all those grand folks at Greshamsbury.
Yes, she is Mary Thorne. She is my own Mary Thorne.
Now, Thorne, what's the news from Boxall Hill?
Well, here. It's good news, Mr. Gresham. That is, I think you'll deem it so. Scatcherd wrote the terms out for you himself.
Yes. This is pretty satisfactory, is it not?
Well, he wants the deeds as security.
Yes, well, can't help that. But 4.5% is a much easier rate than I'd get elsewhere. Very good work, Thorne.
Oh, it's none of my doing.
Well, of course it is.
No, I assure you. Nor, in my view, are the terms that easy. Coming on top of what you already owe him, they'll make Scatcherd's claim on you exceedingly heavy.
Well, it's nice to get the bother over with. What else can I do? Can't let Augusta lose this Moffat fellow for the sake of a few thousand pounds.
He's written to me, you know.
stating his need for the money. In my time, Fawn, a gentleman didn't write such letters, and I'd already assured him I'd have the 6,000 as soon as I could get it. One would have thought that my word would have been enough.
Yes.
It'll be all right, I suppose. Augusta likes him, I think.
You don't suppose, do you, that he was really hoping that you wouldn't oblige?
Well, he wants to cry off, you mean?
Hmm.
Oh, no, impossible, quite impossible. He's very fond of Augusta. I'm sure he is. And apart from that, the match is a great thing for him. The Greshams may not have money, but we have much else. Also, there's the De Courcys to consider. He's dependent on them for the bastard to see.
Ah, yes, but supposing he doesn't get re-elected?
Oh, there's not much fear of that. Scatcherd's trying for it, I gather.
Yes, that's his intention, if his health permits.
Sir Roger's a very fine fellow. I'm sure, but I can hardly believe he has much chance. Moffat will win. You don't really think he wants to throw my daughter over?
I think he may be looking for a door of escape.
But don't you suppose he loves Augusta?
Mr. Gresham, I'm not much of a man for being in love. But if I were, I wouldn't write to my prospective father-in-law with a demand for money.
No, Thorne, I'm sure you wouldn't. But perhaps we mustn't judge Moffat as we judge a gentleman. The Moffats of this world have an eye for business in everything, it seems.
Yes.
At the very least, the match will give Augusta a good position in life. Money goes a great way, after all. But I do hope that she likes him. I do truly. Well, mustn't keep you. I know you promised you'll see Lady Arabella.
Yes. It's not too serious, I hope.
I am never entirely in good health, as you must be aware, after so many years. But there is something else that I wish to talk about.
Ah, very well.
Dr. Thorne, all of us at Greshamsbury House have the greatest respect and affection for you.
Well, thank you, Lady Arabella.
For you, Doctor, and also for Mary.
On her behalf, I'm much obliged.
So, I hope, therefore, that you won't take amiss what I'm going to say.
I'll endeavour not to.
I would rather not cause distress if I could avoid it. But there are occasions, Doctor, when duty is paramount. Dr. Thorne, I wish to speak to you regarding my son.
Ah, indeed. And a fine son he is, Lady Arabella. You must be very proud of him.
Well, yes. But you see, his position is very precarious. And he is just at that time of life when every caution is necessary.
So he's in perfect health, at any rate.
Oh, yes, thank God. His health is good. But that's not what I meant.
Then what did you mean?
Dr. Thorne, you know, I think, my husband's situation with regard to money. Doctor?
I know something, yes.
Perhaps this something is rather more than I know. I am, I fear, kept very much in ignorance on these matters. But I have learned enough to realize that when Frank inherits the Greshamsbury estate, he will do so with very heavy encumbrances. And therefore, Doctor, it is highly necessary that he should be careful.
As to his private expenditure, you mean?
Oh, he must be careful in that regard, of course. But it is not what I mean. I mean that his only hope of retrieving his circumstances is by marrying money.
Well, if he does marry money, I trust that it will be one of many conjugal blessings.
He must marry money, Dr. Thorne, or else he will be ruined. And nothing, I tell you, must be allowed to hinder his chances in this regard. Nothing. No one.
Is there anyone in particular who...
Yes, Dr. Thorne, there is. I am referring in particular to your niece.
What?
I must inform you, Doctor, that things have passed between Frank and Miss Thorne which ought never to have been allowed.
What things?
Love makings, Dr. Thorne, of a very, very, very advanced description.
Who says so? It's a lie.
Dr. Thorne, please. There has been no mistake. What was said was clearly heard.
What was said?
An offer was made.
An offer?
My son, I admit, has been very imprudent. There has been fault on both sides, no doubt.
I think not, Lady Arabella. I know my niece well enough to tell you that there has been no fault on her side, at least.
Doctor, an offer was made. And such an offer must necessarily have its allurements to a young girl such as Miss Thorne.
Allurements?
Now, Frank is at Courcy Castle at present, and he talked of going from thence to Cambridge. But he will be here inevitably from time to time, and therefore...
Yes, Lady Arabella?
Therefore, it would be better for all concerned if Miss Thorne were to discontinue her visits to this house.
I see.
For a while.
Very well. She shall. As from today.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. This won't, of course, alter things between the family and yourself. You will continue to come here, won't you?
No, Lady Arabella, no, I will not.
Oh, but...
Not as a friend, at least. If you send for me, if you require my services as a doctor, then I will come. But you cannot expect me to break bread in a house from which my niece has been banished.
Doctor!
Banished, I might say, so ignominiously.
Doctor!
No, Lady Arabella, no. By passing judgment on my niece, you also pass judgment on me. I tell you, I will share her sentence. And I will do so, Lady Arabella, until such time as you think fit to revoke it.
That was Episode 1 of Dr. Thorne by Anthony Trollope, dramatized for radio by Martin Wade. Dr. Thorne was played by John Wood and Sir Roger Scatcherd by Leo McKern. Mary was played by Amanda Root, Lady Arabella by Eleanor Bron, Frank Gresham by Michael Higgs, Squire Gresham by Christopher Benjamin, Lady De Courcy by Anne Beach, Beatrice by Colleen Prendergast, Augusta by Jane Whittenshaw, Lady Emily by Gillian Mears, and Lady Scatcherd by Tessa Worsley, with Stephen Critchlow, David Timpson, and Jonathan Adams. Dr. Thorne was directed by Cherry Cookson.